time to buy in. You're listening to the Noble Capital Radio Hour. Now, let's start the hour.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Noble Capital Radio Hour, where we explore investment strategies for the modern financial landscape. I'm your host, Chris Ragland, and with me, as always, are my esteemed co-hosts, Romney Navarro and Jaden Newman. Welcome back to the airwaves, guys.
Welcome, guys. Can't wait.
Welcome, guys.
That's good.
Here we go.
Last week was pretty fun. We had our special guest, Ashley, on the show with us, and that was cool. We got to talk about Impact Hub and the really cool things that we're doing with them in partnership with the Affordable Housing Accelerator. So what a cool program.
Yeah, she's a lovely human being, too. She's somebody that I like to be around as much as humanly possible.
Well, she brightened up the show, that's for sure.
Else. Yeah. You know, it's funny, though. I thought about this driving in this morning. We've been doing this thing, the jar, where we count our on the air.
Uh-huh.
And we actually do that for
our guests.
Yeah, to benefit specifically Ashley's.
That's true. Wait a minute. Do you think she hacked the system?
The thing is, we didn't even bring it up.
Oh, man.
It's almost like we were hiding it from her.
Right?
Like, hey, we owe you some money.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. If you don't know what we're talking about, we do tend to grade ourselves as public speakers. And one of the ways that we keep ourselves from using filler words such as and whatever, you know, that kind of thing, or like or whatever, is we count them. And then we actually assign a dollar value to that, and we donate that money to a cause. In this case, it's been to the Affordable Housing Accelerator. So that's pretty cool. I know we crawled over a grand, right?
We're right there.
Yeah, we're right there.
Yeah. Goodness gracious.
All right. So we owe her some money, that's for sure. Thanks for tuning in. You know, we are Noble Capital. If you want to learn more about us, you can always do that at our website. What do we talk about? We tend to talk about three distinct areas. We talk about retirement planning, private lending, and real estate. We're a little bit of a unique financial shop, and that's kind of what we're going to get into today. We're going to get a little bit more into retirement planning, especially after the recession. What's changed? What's unique? And what can we do to help you out? But if you want to learn more about us, or you'd like to download previous episodes or find our social media, you can find all that at noblecapital.com.
Yeah, speaking of social media, please, guys, go out there, give us a quick like, maybe engage a little bit on there. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, and we'd love to hear from you. It's the best place to communicate with us, short of a call-in. It's the best place to communicate with us. So go out there, give us a quick like, a share, a post, anything, and we'll hear you out.
You know, this week's episode, the name is Breaking a Wave. We're talking about the retirement wave, the baby boomers, and then how that has impacted this giant wave. I think Jaden gave it the name, or I don't know if you stole this from somebody, but the Silver Tsunami, which I think is a great name. We're talking about this drove of baby boomers that are going through retirement planning right now. And what a time to be going through retirement planning, because if you have a rear view mirror, you know, it wasn't that long ago. We're talking about 10 years ago. That was the beginning of the Great Recession, right? So what an interesting time to be going through retirement.
It really is. It's very interesting because since the recession, the market has just roared back and hit all-time highs. We've broken a lot of records, and it's been a good time. And with the current administration, they've continued the economy boom. And now it's a difficult time right now for retirees, because on one side of the table, you've watched your portfolio grow so much, and you've really flourished there, especially if you've been in the stock market. But on the other side, you're starting to think about when's the right time to pull some chips off the table now and start to lock in your long-term retirement plan, at least with those core assets in your nest egg that you need to protect and make sure they're going to be there. So we're at an interesting time, and that's one of the things I want to talk a little bit about today is the cycle that we're in and some of the signals that we're seeing from the market analysts out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching the talking heads, and I'm hearing the key term again, profit-taking, right? It's what is profit-taking? They're talking about when you've made some money, it's time to take some money off the table. Take some of those profits. There's no magic number. It probably changes depending on your investment strategy and your risk tolerance, but it's time to take some of that money and say, hey, check the box off. I made this. But then possibly, again, depending on your situation, leave some in there and let it ride so that you can continue to get some of the upside. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of those balancing acts today, in particular, and how it relates to retirement planning and how you're looking at those income strategies.
I think it's interesting too, for the people that are listening that are still kind of just pushing it a little bit further. I need to go a little more. I need to go a little more. I need to invest a little more. You know what I mean? Those guys that are still investing a little, trying to get as much as they can out of this thing before they just call it and retire.
Or even able to call it. It's really difficult. You got to think about some of the habits that people form. We have decades of investment habits that you have to fight against when it comes to retirement, right? For decades, you've been trying to allocate, you've been trying to contribute, put in a little bit more, do whatever you can to continue to increase your size, your portfolio. Most of your life, you've spent doing this. And then somehow, you're expected to pivot and make this drastic change in your behavior and move into a retirement situation where you're not going to be doing the vast majority of those things. And in fact, you're going to be doing a whole lot of new things. I mean, you see this, Jaden, on a consistent basis with clients when you're talking about them. This is a massive pivot change.
Yeah, let's see what the people are saying about
that.
Okay,
fine. Let's see what the people have to say.
Let's talk to the people. So every week, guys, as you know, our producer, Sean Harris, the man, the myth, the legend.
He's coughing on the air, Sean. He really did mean that.
Yep. Oh, God. It's going to happen again.
Just breathtaking.
I think it's the myth, the man, the legend. Sean actually goes out on the streets and interviews people and talks to them about what do they think about a particular question that we have, right?
And he tries to stump them, and they always get him. And he does ask them kind of ridiculous questions. So it's kind of fun to hear what the people on the street have to say. Let's just jump right into it and see what those people do have to say. Sean on the street.
This is Sean on the street. And this week, we're going to go out into the wide world, and we're going to find some people to talk to about baby boomers, retirement, and the Great Recession.
What do you think are some of the biggest concerns for baby boomers entering retirement right now?
I think people are just working longer.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think the lasting impact of the Great Recession was on the people that are looking to retire today and in the next few years?
Hopefully, it's made them more aware of the volatility of retirement portfolios.
Sure.
And has made them more cautious about the way that they invest for their retirement.
And maybe the way they spend going forward too, right?
Yeah, I think there's some evidence to suggest that it has done both of those things.
I think it's made people very conservative, and I think especially even after 08, when those people have now gone through two recessions, they are, I think, the most conservative people in our society in terms of retirement. And so they're more the penny pinchers. You see grandparents or even, you know, older aunts and uncles that are very, very frugal with their investments or their money. And I think that's why.
Do you think they're actually saving more?
I think they're spending less. I don't know if they're saving more. I just think they're spending less.
So maybe out of necessity.
Exactly.
Okay. How do you think the wave of baby boomers that are retiring now will affect the workforce?
I think it's going to put a strain on some of the workforce. You know, with so many people retiring now, it's going to be hard for us to keep up with their needs.
Yeah.
With their.
So there'll be less people paying in.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big shift.
It's going to be hard.
Okay. What's your biggest concern about retirement?
That I'm not going to have enough and that everything's going to be too expensive for me to live when I'm older. And so
the cost of living versus the available
exactly. Well,
income.
True. And I mean, you're seeing it at cost of living here in Austin is rising every 6 months. And so
yeah.
To keep up with that, you have to have a pay rate that's increasing at the double time, which it's not happening. So
when you go to retire, what do you think you'll need for your monthly income every month? How much?
Ooh, I mean, depending on where I am in life, I would like for it to be as high as possible. But I mean, right now looking...
The more the better. How old are you?
38.
38. So whenever you get ready to retire, you know, what's your biggest concern about retirement, either right now or what do you think that concern will be in the future?
My biggest concern right now is just putting back enough to be able to retire when the time comes.
Yeah.
I think when the time comes, I'll be far more concerned with what my lifestyle is going to be like.
What are the obstacles right now to putting back enough money for retirement, in your opinion?
For me personally, the biggest obstacles are paying for my children.
Yeah, tell me about it.
For better or worse, this has been Sean on the Street with the Noble Capital Radio Hour. Back to you, Chris.
You see, that's why I don't have any kids right there. I'm talking to two guys here who have kids that are in middle school, high school age, and yeah, definitely that's a big deal. Or when you're looking at grandkids, you're talking about those dependents. There's a lot of things there to digest. That was some pretty good feedback. I heard some common themes from both or all three of those people that he spoke with.
Yeah, I think the age segment that he chose is a little was interesting, but there was somebody that said that boomers are working longer, and it's true.
Yeah, that is true, and I'm going to come back to that when we get back from the break here in just a second. I want to talk about what are some of the big strategies that boomers are able to employ for their retirement, especially when they're looking at how do they create income in the long term. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere with the all-new radio.com app. Check your phone's app store or visit talk1370.com/app.
You're tuned in to the Noble Capital Radio Hour.
Welcome back to the show where we're discussing retirement after the recession. You're listening to the Noble Capital Radio Hour. We just got finished listening to Sean on the Street interview. Sounded like some younger people, probably in their late 30s. These are working professionals. And what were some of their concerns? And, you know, when we're addressing retirement, I think the concerns could be pretty broad, right? We heard putting enough money right now just to make sure I can keep supporting my kids, right? So that's an active, when you're in your working years, issue, especially if you're a family person and you have family to consider, right? But I heard a couple of other themes. Before I get back into that, I want to remind everyone, if you're looking at downloading this episode, you can do that online at noblecapital.com, but you can also download the podcast, and you can do that anywhere that you can download your podcasts on your phone. But if we're going to get into some retirement planning and you're interested and you want to just come and talk to us, you can do that too.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I actually forgot to mention that in the first segment where we talk about our retirement blueprint dinners. We've actually got two coming up, both in Austin, one on Thursday, September 27th, and another one on Wednesday, October 10th. The one on September 27th is at Trulux in the Arboretum, and the one on Wednesday, October 10th is at Fleming's in the Domain. To attend one of these upcoming retirement blueprint dinners, real simple, just text the word SECURE, SECURE, to the number 313131. That's the word SECURE to 313131.
All right, so Jayden, I'm going to take this back to you. I read a couple of articles actually just over the weekend. We were texting about it, and it talked about the unfortunate situation when you've waited too long to plan. And, you know, what are the tools that you have available to you for retirement if you come up short? And the number one tool that people talk about is working longer, right? They're like, well, if I just don't have the assets put away yet, I don't have the plan, I will work longer. And one of the things that gets in the way of being able to work longer, unfortunately, is something outside of all of our control is health. So the number one blocker to being able to work longer is health. And then the second strategy that they talked about was, and this one sucks too, is, well, you're going to be forced to spend less. So you're going to work longer and you're going to spend less. And this is just a result, in my opinion, of just poor planning.
That's right on. And it's the reality of many American situation. In fact, I'm sure there's listeners right now that are feeling this pressure. And we can spend a couple minutes on that. Just what do you do when you're coming up short? That's kind of a doomy doom and gloom type talk. But when we have folks come in that are struggling to make their plan make sense, then it's a candid conversation. And as an advisor, you don't always tell people what they want to hear. And that's really our job. We've got to sit down and be candid and be transparent with people because we're talking about their livelihood. But unfortunately, Chris, that is the bottom line. It's spend less. It's work longer. It's looking at alternative strategies like maybe tapping the equity in your home or getting a reverse mortgage, you know, maybe looking at other ways to cut expenses back to adjust your lifestyle to what the retirement portfolio that you have been able to accumulate will sustain. So if you're in that situation, we don't want to just skim over this. I mean, our hearts go out to you. We'd like to, we'd still like to talk to you and see if there's something that we can do to help or point you in the right direction. It's important to have a trusted advisor in the picture. So reach out to us if that is you. But on the flip side, if we can start planning, and the earlier the better, then we can generate a very good result and give you that confidence that you deserve, and also that anticipation and excitement I think everybody deserves when you're talking about working your whole life towards being able to actually kick back and enjoy what you've accomplished and start spending time doing things that are important to you and your family.
Yeah, it's what I call the finish line. My wife and I call it the finish line. It's like when you break that, you know, imaginary tape, you have to celebrate that. You got there. So it's pretty wild that we're talking about retirement after the recession in such a hot real estate, it's such a hot market. I said real estate because I'm ultimately a real estate guy, but we're talking about retirement after the recession in a very hot market. Guys, I don't know how long this is going to last, right? So plan now, get ready, brace yourself is, I guess, what my 2 cents would be right now is brace yourself, get ready, do as much planning as you can now because the day will come. We're going to take a little bit of a hit and we want to be prepared.
Well, yeah, let's do some rearview mirror talk here. We're talking about 10 years ago when we were meeting with clients and they were saying, you know, how much of their portfolio was wiped out. We were at an all-time high then too. You know, yeah. It was a record. You know, we were at an all-time high. Everything was just blowing and going. And, you know, some of the stats we saw or what we have here is like, you know, $3.5 trillion of retirement savings were wiped out during the last recession. I mean, that's incredible. And here we are 10 years later. We're at an all-time high and things are great. It's like, I mean, really, I hope some people are learning from this and I hope some people are profit-taking or reorganizing their portfolio and getting to a place where they're insulated from that type of risk moving forward.
And real talk, I mean, a lot of people are, there's this kind of myth that you need to earn more, to save more, to retire larger and quicker and all these different things. I mean, there's some truth to that, of course, right? But it doesn't really matter. Just start planning and start taking action, whatever your situation may be. I'm a notorious saver. I'm not a big investor. I save a lot of money. And that's not necessarily great, but I can do something with this. And my sure. point is there's people that just can't save for whatever reason. It's time. Yeah. I mean, the market is way, way, way too strong to not be saving.
You know who I don't want to meet? Actually, I really do not want to meet were the people that we met 8 years ago. And came in and said, I was teed up and ready to retire, and I lost 30, 40, 50% of my portfolio, and I'm going to work for another decade. And I actually, yeah. and I in my mind, I can see these two or three different people.
And they
that
saw
I
the
know.
Finish line, too. They saw
did.
That.
It
tape.
Was right there. And then they didn't have a good plan, and they weren't insulated properly. And I actually know these guys, and they're just now retiring. They came to me in 2010, 2011, 2012. They just now got to it. They had to work an extra 5, 6, 7, or 8 years to recover from that. And who I don't want to meet is that guy in the next 5 years.
And they're no better, no worse than anybody else. Yeah. All it is they just forgot to do it. They didn't do it. They didn't take action quickly enough.
I'll tell you guys that we just, if you want to call it celebrated, another anniversary of 9/11 here last week. And it's been 17 years since the Twin Towers came down. Isn't that amazing? 17 years to
yeah,
think about
incredible.
That. So that was a big economic trigger event. If you remember in September of 2001, I remember because I had my son Noah was a baby and we were sitting there watching it on TV and being a young father, you know, I was ready to go enlist in the army and kill somebody at that point.
Wow.
The fact is 9/11 coupled with the tech bubble, mm-hmm. right? The tech wreck, those were two things that created quite a shakeup for people looking back prior to the Great Recession. This was that 2000, 2001, 2002 timeframe where those people were also set back. So yep. if you're not reminded, you know, this happens every so often. We hit these cycles. And people have short-term memory. And right now is one of those times where there's prosperity in the air. Everything is looking up. And right now is the time. This is the best tip I can give right now to take a hard look at your portfolio. And it's interesting on Sean on the Street, you know, we talked about, the gentleman was talking about, well, you know, how much is enough to accumulate to have that right portfolio? Romney, you mentioned a minute ago, I mean, if I can just get a little bit more invested, mm-hmm. and everybody's thinking in terms of how big their pile of money is or how much money they have, when what we really need to be doing is taking a critical look at where you're going to get your paychecks from in retirement and see what that pile of money translates into in terms of retirement income. It's almost a score that you want to be aware of. What percentage of your retirement income have you locked in? And once you know you've locked in the right number that you're planning on for sustaining your spending in retirement, and you've built in inflation, then it's a completely different mindset you're in at that point. So don't be thinking about this big, you know, I got to have $1 million or $2 million or $3 million or $5 million in my account before I retire. I want to know how much retirement income I have lined up so that I can retire.
Yeah, I like it. So we're going to need to lay it out on what can we do. We've talked about the risk factors and the situation where we are right now with the marketplace. When we get back from break, we're going to talk about the things that you can do with Noble Capital to work towards your retirement. We'll be right back. I'm your host, Chris Ragland. If you're just joining us, we're talking about retiring after the Great Recession, some of the changes that we saw with our clients, and some of which had to work longer because they didn't plan properly. We've been talking about what can happen to you if you're not managing risk and your income strategies appropriately. If you're just tuning in, that's what we talk about on our show here, the Noble Capital Radio Hour. We're talking about retirement planning, but we're specialists in private lending and real estate. And we'll cover that a little bit during this segment. So if you've been wanting to hear about that, hang out for a minute and we'll get into that. But you can always find us at noblecapital.com. All right, let's jump back in. We talked about some of the situations that you can put yourself or find yourself in unintentionally. So what can we be doing? What can we be doing to prepare to prevent those types of situations?
Yeah, I think it's important that we frame it with this. I mean, we're talking again about retirement after a recession. So when you're faced with a recession, a lot of things happen. So recession has negative impacts on so many things: values, home values, wages, job security, interest rates. I mean, think about that for a second. If you're entering retirement and your portfolio is not necessarily crushed, but is affected, it loses some value, and you have to work a little bit longer to continue to feed this thing so that you can retire, but now you've got some job security issues. I mean, the world starts really kind of getting unstable, and that's what I keep telling people right now, even at our age, figure this thing out as much as humanly possible. Let's get to a place where we know where that money comes from. I think you keep calling it, guaranteed income for life. Start planning towards that. Even if you're planning just a little, at some point it's going to hit you. And guess who the first people are out on the streets in terms of, you know, job security during another recession? It's the older working class. It's not the younger generation.
Sure, there's data to support that as well.
Absolutely.
We talk about during recession and restructuring organizations, and some of the first people to get cut tend to be those that are of a higher age.
It's going to be the 59-year-old, 61-year-old. It's not going to be the 27-year-old.
Right, and it's because structurally they're higher earners.
Yes.
Yeah.
So secure that.
Yep.
So let's talk sanity check here. A little just kind of stop and smell the roses here. And what's a practical way to look at your portfolio right now, if you're falling into this class of folks that we're speaking to, which is our clientele, where you have had a nice little run here over the last 8 years as the markets come back and set all these records. We're starting to see all these signals now about this being the longest bull market and the sort of, volatility meters are going off the radar right now. And at some point, we are going to see a correction, a slowdown, and a turnaround. So what do you do? What's the way to approach this right now? I mean, when is the right time? And what is your strategy when you're talking about dealing with a transition like this? So there's obviously a lot to talk about, a lot more than we can get into on one segment. But just at a high level, I want to talk about de-risking the portfolio for a minute. When you're looking at a situation like this, I like to apply what's called the COMA test.
Not the comma, the coma.
That's right. The comma test is nice too. If you can just add a comma, you're good to go. But the coma test is a great practical test. And follow me here and tell me if this makes sense, okay? So with money you have in a market that is in the bull market run that we're experiencing right now, and you're facing retirement in the next 3, 5, 7 years, you know it's coming, even 10 years out, what do you do with that money, and how should you be looking at that money to make this transition into this retirement phase and to plan for this? Well, I think the question that you need to ask yourself is if you go in a coma for 10 years, let's say 7 to 10 years, would you be okay just going into that coma and forgetting about that money that you have in the stock market, not touching it, not moving it, not trading it, literally forgetting about it, waking up in a decade, and then checking your score and kind of seeing where your portfolio is at? And if that's not when you apply that test to the money you have in the stock market right now, if you can't with confidence say that I'm willing just to forget about that money for 10 years and you're coming up on that retirement phase, then you don't have any business having that money in the stock market right now. What you need to do is go through a rebalancing right now to get comfortable with the money that you're going to leave in the market and know that it's going to ride out some volatility and it's going to be okay. In other words, you're behaving like a 35 or a 45-year-old that's playing the long game, but you don't do that with the whole farm. You don't bet the whole farm on the stock market when you're 3, 5, 7 years out from retirement. It's time to rebalance and get focused on income. So that's a practical test that I think everybody understands. Does that one resonate with you guys, the coma test?
It does with me. You've been talking about it for some time, so I get it. I will also say, I think when you start thinking about the coma test, a lot of people get a little bit scared. It's like, that can't happen. Not that I can't go into a coma for 10 years, but I need more money. I need that number to get bigger. I think that happens with a lot of people. With that said, that's kind of what we talk about in terms of planning. It's like, wherever you're at, you need to start planning. So it's not like if you go into a coma today, if we go into a coma today, that might be a different situation, right? But entering retirement, that's what you're trying to talk about. It's like at that tender time, if you go into a coma, you want to make sure that thing stays put and you're not playing the volatile stock market.
The fact is, Romney, is the stock market always goes up over time. It's true.
Sure.
So if it's a matter of just waiting out those down cycles.
Sure.
Do you have time to wait it out? The worst place that you can find yourself is being in retirement in a sideways or down cycle and needing to draw down money from that portfolio that's in the stock market. Not only is it going down in value, you're drawing it down and spending it down. And what's the first thing you're going to begin to do when you're in that situation other than lose sleep?
Lose money?
You are. You know, that's the bad thing about it is we don't know. You never know when it's going to happen too, right? That's the bad side.
So don't put yourself in that pickle. That's what I'm saying is don't put yourself in that position. Learn how to play the game. That the stock market is a wonderful investment. Over time, it always goes up. It just doesn't happen in a linear fashion or we would all be all in the stock market. It happens in cycles. And right now, what we're saying is the obvious. Our listeners know this. We are at the peak of this current cycle. How much longer are we going to be here? Gosh, I hope for everybody that it's going to continue. But regardless of that, it is time to pull back and really consider what your income plan is going to look like in retirement right now.
Especially at that very tender age, as you're starting to plan for, think about it, whatever it may be, that's when you absolutely need to be taking Jaden's advice here, right? I mean, if you're 24 years old and you're listening to this, let it ride.
Sure.
Let it ride.
You can go in a 30-year coma.
Absolutely. The 30-year coma test. But seriously, that's what it's all about. But no, not if you're thinking of, you know, doing that next thing. My wife and I keep talking about what our thing is, you know, photography, cooking, travel, this, that, the other. Everybody wants something, right? Some people just want to rest. Whatever that may be, if you're already thinking about that, it's time to start planning for the coma test.
All right. So we're talking about low risk or hybridized risk type vehicles then. We're talking about diversification, right? So let's get into some of that. What are some of the things that you can be doing to solve the problems we're talking about?
Yeah, and I'm the guaranteed income guy. So how do I guarantee my income for life, right? If I'm talking to somebody at Noble or anywhere, I mean, how do I just go and like guarantee my income as compared to have to keep working?
Well, let me tell you what you don't do first. So it doesn't count if you just look at your stock portfolio and figure out, you know, what are my dividends going to be? And what if I assume a growth rate of X based on how the stock market performs over time, and then I just begin drawing down my money, I should have enough money. I'm going to be fine. So the fact is not all income is equal. Not all income accounts and income sources are equal. There's safe and guaranteed income.
Hey, you got to break that down. What do you mean not all income's equal?
So
income's income.
Income's income. Well, so income that is not guaranteed, lifetime, predictable, consistent, and
treated differently from a tax standpoint even, right? Yeah. There's a lot of differences.
Looking at taxable, the tax consequences, all of these things are considered. Inflation. So let's just keep it simple here as we break this down. For initially, we're just talking about the risk profile of the income. Everybody looks at the risk profile of their portfolio and they focus on that diversification. Well, what about diversification in your income plan? So the first thing we're going to talk about is what kind of safe and guaranteed and predictable income sources do you have in play right now? And this takes into account Social Security, pensions, defined benefit plans, any type of contractual income that's backed by a strong institution, the U.S. government, a big A-rated life insurance company, a pension that's backed up by a strong corporation. Those are the first things that we need to start looking at. How much guaranteed long-term income do you have set up for yourself? In an era now where we don't have pensions and the game is changing, we've got to have conversations about how we're going to create your pension vehicles, your pension replacement vehicles. And that's a big part of what we do. We've got a whole toolbox full of vehicles that our clients can actually custom design how they're going to work. They're very flexible and they have the ability to grow, which is very nice. And that's the first conversation we want to have is what percentage of your retirement income do you want to be guaranteed? So we got to check that box first, fellas.
So anybody listening out there, myself and even Chris, we do not prepare retirement plans. This isn't what we do, but Jaden absolutely does. So does Jess Hamill in our headquarters here in Austin, Texas. One thing that I'm curious about, because I'm not in the day-to-day, I know where a lot of the investments go and whatnot, but how much is it commonplace, maybe a better way to put it, is it commonplace for somebody to set up their, basically have their 100% of their income guaranteed? You always say, what percentage do you want guaranteed? Is it commonplace to go 100%?
So we want to invite everybody to come out to one of our retirement blueprint dinners here after this. And I'm going to give you a little tidbit, just a little sneak peek of what we're going to talk about. And you'll know when I ask this question. We have a couple of them coming out. But at every event, I ask the crowd that exact question. What percentage of your retirement income do you want to be guaranteed? Straight up. You know, let's just be honest. And I get three sets of answers. I get the 100%ers. Sure. I get a majority of it. And then I get, well, I think I could live on maybe 50-50. I want a little excitement in my life. I want to kind of go out and you know, have to make it happen and stay on the seat of my pants.
Every day I'm hustling.
Why are you guys looking at me?
Yeah.
So those are the three groups. I don't hear anybody saying that they want less than 50%. But yeah, here's what I do, and I want to prep you for it so you don't lose your appetite when you come to the dinner. Is as soon as we get those answers, I let everybody know, and this is me talking to the group like family, and I'm talking right now to you, the listeners, the same way, because I know you answered this question when I just brought it up in your head. The cold, hard truth is, folks, that 95% of the people that are listening and that come to our events, and that's being generous, it might even be more, do not even have 50% of their retirement income guaranteed in their retirement income plan. And that's scary if you think about it.
And yet 100% want greater than 50% or more.
Yeah, so let's close the gap, folks.
That's a pretty huge disconnect.
Absolutely.
You know? And there's other programs too. I mean, obviously one of our core products that we offer is real estate. We look at that as a hybrid vehicle that can also create income strategies. And maybe we can talk a little bit more about that after the break.
Yeah, it's unique to a lot of people, but really it's simple. Kind of right down the middle, straightforward, basic income strategy.
I got a great story for you guys on that, when we come back.
Man, we got all kinds of things teed up for the next segment.
Keep stacking them. We are actually going to have our Shambalope.
Yeah, that's in the last segment. That's also the coming up. We got rid of the quote one, thank God.
Yes, that was horrible.
We are terrible. The only reason we got them right last week or got anything was because Ashley was here.
Cheated to show off in front of
her. We did. Hey, listen up. Stick around. When we get back, we're going to give you those upcoming dinner times and dates and how you can register again. We'll be right back.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere on the radio.com app.
Once again, this is the Noble Capital Radio Hour.
And we're back. If you just tuned in, we've been exploring retirement planning, essentially, after the recession, or maybe a lack of planning. That's what we were really kind of digging into there for a minute. We were really talking about what percentage of your income do you want to have guaranteed? And that's a really interesting thing, because I would say before you even talk about that, most people aren't even thinking about retirement as an income plan. That's they figure out like, oh wait, that is what it is. Like, I think you get there, but you start off from this place of like, it's a pile of money and I'm going to spend it down, and then quickly realize that's a terrible strategy.
Right. It's like I need $1 million, and if I could just earn 6% on that, that's $60,000 a year.
Yeah, right.
So I think I could live on $60,000 a year. Plus I've got my Social Security. That's another $25,000. So there's my $85,000.
I'm good, right?
I'm going to be fine.
Yeah, fine, totally.
And that's sad. I mean, sadly, it's kind of scary. That's the extent of some people's analysis, is just assuming a rate they can earn on their portfolio consistently over 20 to 30 year retirement. Come on, guys.
Right. I don't know about health. I don't know about inflation. I don't think about tax consequences. I don't think about gifting. I don't think about the unexpecteds in life. I mean,
those are all huge.
And
that health one scares the daylights out of me.
I think about my family that needed a $100,000 loan. I mean, all of these things come swarming at you. It's like,
let's get back on track. So we got the guaranteed income. We checked the box for you, guaranteed predictable income. So then what other types of income should we be looking for?
You know, yeah, let's talk about real estate too, because that's a big one.
You're right on. So let's talk real estate. This is our bread and butter. And one of the unique things is we have a real estate background. We are real estate investors, real estate finance guys at heart. And one of the things we offer our clients, as many of the listeners know or have heard, is an opportunity to invest in Texas residential real estate through our private lending platform. And right now, our clients are receiving anywhere from 6 to 9% returns, depending on how much they invest. And so let's call it 7, 8% interest. That's a 7 to 8% return on Texas residential real estate lending, where you preserve your principal, you put your principal to work, and you're able to skim that interest income off and take that, as many of our clients do, as retirement income. We can use qualified money retirement accounts or non-retirement accounts. Either one works for this program. And this is one of the more popular things that we do to generate income for our clients. It's an alternative. It's Texas real estate. It's something we're more familiar with. The economic forecast of Texas is strong. And when we talk about real estate, I've got a quick story. I had a client actually come in this past week, and they had the opportunity. This is on an Exxon Mobil pension, where Exxon Mobil is offering now a lump sum opportunity to give them a buyout of their pension, essentially.
They're getting desperate. They're telling, we got to get rid of these pensions.
They've got it. So yeah, not only are pensions a thing of the past, the ones that were promised now, they're winding them down and pushing for buyouts. Folks, it's happening, and I think everybody knows by now. So they came in and said, well, shoot, should we take this buyout? And if so, what do we do with this money compared to just taking the pension that was promised? And we ran some numbers, and this particular couple has been a client for about 3 years now. So they already have a good allocation in their portfolio into our real estate program, and it generates some nice income for them. But the question that they asked is, what is an appropriate amount of our portfolio to put into real estate? And I think that's a great question. I think for the listeners, when we talk about real estate, what is an appropriate amount to put into real estate? And the answer is probably different for different people, depending on really what your temperature is on the stock market.
It's definitely not 100.
Absolutely not. Sure. We would never. And although we've had clients go there, that yeah, you know anything true. Over 50% begins to scare me. Yeah. So I'm pushing clients more in that 20 to 30% range. Let's say a quarter to a third of your portfolio is appropriate to be in real estate, and specifically in secured real estate. The spectrum of real estate investing is wide. So we've got to compare apples to apples. But if you can get into rental properties or secured private lending on first lien real estate, which is what we do, then I think anywhere from a quarter to a third of your portfolio is appropriate. And this particular couple straight up asked, well, if we take the lump sum and put it into the private lending program and we're earning, 7-8% on that, then how does that compare to just taking this pension? And when we ran the numbers, it was amazing what we came up with. And basically with the pension, they had a nice income stream, but it was a single life pension. And as soon as that client passed away, it was gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay? it's a huge danger zone. I thought you were going to make them come to the seminar to hear the results.
Oh, man. Tell them the score.
And when we ran the private lending analysis and showed them what they could generate, they were able to generate almost the exact same amount of monthly income, but they were able to maintain the principal and the nest egg without mm-hmm. spending that down. And that was going to be critical to deal with emergencies, healthcare, or passing it on as a legacy to the next generation.
I love it. Testify. So that couple right there, I don't know them, but I think it's kind of interesting that you said that this was an ExxonMobil pension that you were dealing with. I was in Houston a few weeks back, and I met with one of our bigger clients out there, and it turns out that he was an ExxonMobil executive. That was a lot of XXX. ExxonMobil executive. And he left that career and he got into home building, and he's one of the more, decorated home builders inside of the loop inside of Houston. And it might be interesting to share that story with them, that somebody who they're investing in is somebody that was just like you. This is a 35-year-old guy, mind you. So he had a nice little run for a little while, and then he got into home building. But it might be fun to share that with them. It's like, this guy was just like you. Now he just kind of changed hats and he's doing this thing in home building, real estate investing. All right. I think we should jump into
The final segment.
What is it called? It's the Shonvelope. So put your money where your mouth is, guys. This is where we wrap up today's show. Try to wrap it up in whatever it is that this little envelope holds. So there's going to be instructions in here. We will read it. And then we will try to wrap up the show with whatever these instructions say. Let's see. Today it says, sum up today's episode in any number of words, but it must be one quote where each host contributes to the same thought. For example, Chris gives the first word, Romney gives the second word, and Jaden gives the third. Continue around the circle until the quote reaches a logical conclusion. I like that. Nice work, Sean. We've got a minute 30.
All right, I'll start it off.
Go.
Working
is...
Okay, take two. working is fun. Yeah. So here.
Unless
you're
95
or 100.
You guys are killing me.
You're supposed to bring it to an end.
No, I'm giving him a few minutes. Working is fun unless you're
95
or. Okay. Working is fun unless you're 95 or
or 96.
There you go.
Years
old.
Period.
Wow, that was terrible.
Terrible. I was trying to figure out how to keep it fun.
Like, that was pretty fun, though. I'll give you that. I mean,
working is fun unless you're old and you don't have time to work or you're not healthy enough to work anymore.
Like working is also fun if you don't want to work anymore. Like let's retire.
That's true too. We're also very terrible at that game.
Yeah, but still a good game.
Yeah, no, that wasn't too bad. All right, one last time, Romney. How can people come? You got about 10 seconds to tell.
10 seconds. Text the word secure, SECURE, to 313131. We've got a couple of retirement blueprint dinners coming up. Thursday, September 27th, and Wednesday, October 10th.
That's it. That's all we got time for. I'm Chris.
I'm Romney.
And I'm Jaden.
And this is the Noble Capital Radio Hour.
All opinions expressed by the speakers on this radio program are solely the opinions of those speakers and do not reflect the opinions of Noble Capital, Acute Financial, Streamline Funding, or their respective affiliates. Each speaker's opinions are based upon information the speakers believe to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. Each speaker's statements and opinions are subject to change without notice. The information discussed on this radio program is provided for general informational purposes only, does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you, and should not be construed as investment, legal, tax, or other advice on any subject matter. The information discussed in this radio program is not intended and should not be viewed or construed as a recommendation, advice, offer, or inducement to buy, sell, or hold securities, insurance products, or any other financial products. Before acting on any information discussed in this radio program, you should seek appropriate financial, investment, and other professional advice based on your particular facts and circumstances. Current or past performance is not indicative of future results. You should be aware of the real risk of loss in following any strategy or investment discussed on this radio program. No outcome or profit is guaranteed. Any transmission of information through this program is provided on a non-confidential basis and does not create an advisor-client relationship between you or anyone of Noble Capital, Acute Financial, or Streamline Funding. Some information provided in this program may reference other service providers, including websites operated and maintained by third parties. Such information is included solely as a convenience to you, and the provision of such information does not imply a responsibility for such third-party information or an endorsement of the linked site, its operator, or its contents. Acute Financial and Streamline Funding are both wholly owned subsidiaries of Noble Capital. Noble Capital, Acute Financial, Streamline Funding, and or their respective affiliates and principals, which may include the speakers and guests featured on this radio program, may receive compensation from the sale of financial products featured in this program. Reproduction, distribution, republication, and or retransmission of any portion of this program is strictly prohibited without the prior written permission of Acute Financial, Noble Capital, and Streamline Funding.